Velcro, and Teflon. The negativity bias also affects the structure-building processes of your brain. Here's how this works. As we've seen, what flows through your mind changes your brain. The result is two kinds of learning, two kinds of memory, explicit and implicit. Explicit memory has all your personal recollections, from when you were a young child to whatever was going on 10 minutes ago. These recollections tend to be positively biased the farther back in time you go. For example, I know logically that my feet must have been killing me in tight climbing shoes on a long route in Yosemite, but all I remember is how great it felt to stand on top with my friend. Explicit memory also includes what's called declarative knowledge, which is a kind of encyclopedia of information about things such as what a bicycle is, the shape of Earth, and your social security number. Implicit memory includes procedural knowledge, which is how to do things, from riding that bicycle to navigating a delicate conversation with a friend. It also contains your assumptions and expectations, emotional residues of lived experience, models of relationships, values and inclinations, and the whole inner atmosphere of your mind. It's like a vast storehouse holding most of your inner strengths, as well as most of your feelings of inadequacy, unfulfilled longings, defensiveness, and old pain. What gets put into this storehouse is the foundation of how you feel and function. Its contents usually have much more impact on your life than the contents of your explicit memory. Unfortunately, the formation of implicit memory is negatively biased. Uncomfortable experiences are immediately fast-tracked into memory stores, once burned, twice shy. We usually learn faster from pain than from pleasure. Strong dislikes are acquired faster than strong likes. In relationships, trust is easy to lose and hard to regain. Something bad about a person is better remembered than something good, which is why negative ads dominate political campaigns. Whether between family members or nations, long-remembered grievances fuel long-running conflicts. Just a handful of painful experiences of futility can rapidly become a sense of helplessness, a major factor in depression, and a person usually needs many times as many counter-experiences of effectiveness in order to regain a sense of confidence and capability. One way or another, negative mental states can easily become negative neural traits. On the other hand, unless it's intense or novel, most good news has little or no lasting effect on implicit memory systems in the brain. This happens for three reasons. First, we tend to look past the good news because we're busy solving problems or scanning for something to worry about. Ordinary good facts are all around. Birds are calling, people are smiling, hearts are still beating, and we don't give them much attention. Second, when we do recognize a good fact, it often fails to become a good experience. We finish a task, good fact, and then shift to the next one with little sense of accomplishment. Someone offers a compliment, and it's brushed aside. We hear the children laughing, but it doesn't lift our hearts. Third, even if you do notice a good fact, and even if it does become a good experience, it probably does not get converted into neural structure stored in implicit memory. Unless they're million-dollar moments, positive experiences use standard-issue memory systems, in which new information must be held in short-term buffers long enough for it to transfer to long-term storage. Long enough depends on the experience and the person, but loosely speaking, it's at least a few seconds, and the longer the better. In effect, you have to keep resting your mind on a positive experience for it to shape your brain. But how often do we stay with a positive experience for 5, 10, or 20 seconds in a row, or longer? I sure didn't until I began appreciating the importance of deliberately taking in the good and gradually filling the hole in my heart. Suppose something has happened and you feel peaceful, contented, or loved. Would you typically keep open to this feeling for, let's say, 10 seconds, keeping it alive in your awareness, sinking into it as it sinks into you? Most people wouldn't. But if you're not doing this, much if not all of the value available in this experience will be lost. Your brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones.